Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's football. I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Game day, baby. Wake up or get out.
Here's your host.
A confident young man. A superb athlete.
Gary Sagers.
Welcome in. Winning Cures Everything. It is Thursday, August 11th. And that's right. It is a big show today. We've got, obviously, new intro video, new intro music, whatever. We've got a lot of stuff going on. So hopefully you guys will let me know what you think in the comments. Of course, on YouTube and over at Twitter, at GaryWCE. And, my friends, big show today. We have Bob Thompson, the former president of Fox Sports, on the show with us. And we had a fascinating 40-something minute interview. Just awesome. Awesome stuff. Awesome information. He really went about waist deep with me on quite a few topics involving realignment, the Big Ten Network deal, Notre Dame, the ACC and ESPN, etc. Lots of stuff there. Before we get started, I want to go ahead and wish a happy birthday, a happy 17th birthday to my daughter, Dylan. She is, I believe this week is her first week of her senior year of high school. So big things ahead in the future. This time next year, I will be moving her into whatever college campus dorm or whatever it is that she ends up doing. But she'll be going off to college about this time next year. So I got one more year with my daughter, and then she will leave to go and do whatever it is that she wants to do. So we'll figure it out as we get there. I'm sure she's already got plenty of plans in her head, but regardless, I'm going to hit on some news topics here, and then we will jump into the interview with Bob, but we'll start off right here. So, injuries in fall camp already becoming a thing. Obviously, the first one that we'll hit on, Wake Forest quarterback Sam Hartman. He is out indefinitely. It is a non-football medical issue. Apparently, he has already had surgery. He is going through rehab as we speak. They don't have a timetable. They have not actually released what exactly is going on, but that is a massive, massive issue. Griffiths, I believe, is the new quarterback's name, and he's actually the last person that threw a quarterback or threw a touchdown pass for Wake Forest. I think it was back at the beginning of the 2020 season. So a lot to look at there with Wake Forest. How effective is that offense without that signal caller? That's a big, big deal for Wake Forest. That win total of 8.5 is long gone. Most places I've seen now are around 7, 7.5 maybe. So you gotta look into it, see exactly what's happening there. Florida, wide receiver Ricky Pearsall, or Pearsall, which however it's pronounced, he is out with a foot injury, out indefinitely. We don't know exactly how long that's going to be, but it seemed fairly significant. Injured at the first day of practice, and injured it again a couple days later. That's kind of an issue because he was expected to be a huge contributing factor for that receiving core for Anthony Richardson and the Gators. So we'll see exactly what happens there. Alabama wide receiver JoJo Earl expected to be a pretty significant part of that offense. He was part of that bunch with Treshawn Holden, Ja'Cory Brooks, etc. A lot of guys there that were already at Alabama that were expected to be big factors in their sophomore years. JoJo Earl is out for 6 to 8 weeks now with a Jones fracture in his foot. So we'll see exactly how long that ends up keeping him out. And then finally, a couple more that I wanted to hit on. North Carolina wide receiver Antoine, and I wrote it down, and I can't read my own writing. Antoine Green, good gracious. Expected to be a starter this year. He has a collarbone injury, so he will be out. Injured himself in a scrimmage. And then Purdue, second-string tight end, he is out for the year with a knee injury. So, depth getting a little thin. A couple of spots at Purdue for sure. We got to pay attention to what is happening there with the injuries and whatnot. But I would imagine we will see more of these in fall camp as we go forward. This is why it is always smarter to make your game week bets for the opening week of the season after fall camp. Simple enough. You got to figure out all of the information before you make a bet. Bottom line. All right. Next on the docket. Former Washington State head coach Nick Rolovich has filed a wrongful termination suit against Washington State for $25 million. Now, if you don't remember exactly what happened here, he was relieved of his duties when the state of Washington forced all state employees to be vaccinated against COVID. He refused, and they would not give him any kind of an exemption, and they ended up firing him. That is how Jake Dickert has become the new head coach of the Cougars. I am very curious what is going to end up happening here. There are still COVID vaccination requirements, mandates, whatever you want to call it, going on at certain places in this country. We could debate whether or not they should have been, if you want to. I'm going to let y'all handle that. You can do it in the comments if you want. I'm not going to stop you, but I'm going to choose to stay away from this. I want to see what happens here. This is incredibly interesting to me. $25 million is a lot of money, but I think that they're going to be required to pay this salary. I mean, we'll see. You never know, but that's just my guess on it. But I'm curious to hear the details that actually come out of this thing. And finally, do want to hit on this. Pretty big nugget of information that has not exactly been hyped up a lot. At SEC Media Days, Kirby Smart talked about the fact that he wanted to move the Georgia-Florida game back to campuses because it would be easier for recruiting. As it stood, the game in Jacksonville was a neutral site, and you could not bring recruits to a neutral site game. Now, obviously, even if you could bring recruits to a neutral site game, it's incredibly difficult for the coaches to be able to spend time with those recruits, etc., but you want the recruits to be able to see your biggest game of the year, and for Georgia and Florida both, that's it. That is the big game. Well, now it appears this season, Georgia will be allowed to invite recruits to the game in Jacksonville. Now, they have the option of whether or not they will do that. Florida also will have the option in 2023, but I have to wonder if maybe this is a new mindset from Billy Napier, the new Florida head coach, if maybe they're just going to allow this going forward if the game is going to stay in Jacksonville. I think it's smart. I don't know why a recruit would not be allowed to go to a neutral site game. That's just kind of ridiculous to me. But regardless, this seems like a good idea on both sides of the equation. I would certainly roll that direction. So, yeah, I think this is smart. And certainly good for Georgia, certainly good for Florida as well. I don't know who it hurts in this spot. I really don't. Really don't. All right, let's go ahead and hit an ad, and we'll hit with Bob on the backside. Let's check out some things you should know about.
Visit winningcureseverything.com to find everything you need to know about us, including full shows in video or podcast form, gambling picks, merch, the gear we use, and more.
If you want more content from me, Gary, visit betustv.com. I host the How to Gamble on Sports show and, from August through January, the BetUS College Football Show. You can subscribe to both on YouTube.
If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or whatever's your favorite podcast app. And if your app allows it, leave a 5-star written review.
Visit the Winning Cures Everything web store to get all kinds of football shirts, hats, hoodies, mugs, and more. Visit winningcureseverything.com/store to see what all we've added.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, back to the show. All right, on the show today, we've got Bob Thompson, retired president of Fox Sports Networks and Fox Sports International, principal Thompson Sports Group, LLC. Now, I have thoroughly enjoyed you being active on Twitter. Now, Bob, you've got a long resume of accomplishments, and yet you have found time for my little one-man operation, and I certainly appreciate that. How are you this morning?
I'm very well. Happy to be here, Gary.
Wonderful. Now, we'll start off with, I guess it'll be a softball, but I'll let you make the difference on that. What is the biggest difference in the sports media rights space today compared to when you were at Fox? Like, have you been shocked by the direction that things have gone?
Not really. Certainly the dollars shock you because you always think that nothing's going to go up forever. And so far, it seems as though the sports rights fees have gone up forever.
We thought there'd be a bubble at some point, right?
Exactly. I think everybody thought there was a bubble. And, I think in 2009 and 10, you saw some things take a little pause. But a lot of the reasons you've seen a big jump this time around is some of these deals are pretty stale. You know, the 2010, 2011 deals that ran 12 and 13 years is what the Pac-12 and the Big 12 are looking at right now coming off of. So there's been some rather significant changes in the business since then. And live sports rights are one of the most valuable things at this point to ensure that people tune in and watch.
Now, that's the biggest thing, right, is that you've made a switch over to streaming for a lot of people. So a lot of people are cutting the cord. Cable subscribership is down significantly. So really, sports are one of the only things that is appointment viewing. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I think sports is one of the only things currently holding the so-called bundle together on cable TV or satellite, where, you know, if you're a sports fan, you've really got to have that. It's pretty hard to get around it. So I think the linear networks, broadcast networks and cable networks realize that. And so for them, the bundle's not dead yet, but they're all kind of hedging their bets by having a streaming component of some sort so that they can reach the other people who are just basically cut the cord entirely and streaming only.
Now, luckily, I get to chat with you a couple of days after all the Big Ten media rights news came out. Now, reportedly, the Big Ten's going to have a noon game on Fox, 3:30 Eastern time game on CBS, and then a primetime game on NBC, with some Tier 3 game streaming on Peacock, some exclusivity there, whatever it is. The biggest thing that we know currently is that ESPN will not be broadcasting Big Ten games for the first time in, four decades? Now, that's on its surface. It sounds like a huge deal. However, is it that important these days for a conference to be involved with ESPN in the current media climate? Basically, is the Big Ten risking relevancy, or are they just too big for that?
I think they're too big for that. If you look at the Big Ten deal, at least what's been announced, and, you know, until it actually comes out as official from the conference, I still like to hedge the bets a little bit. But, you know, it on the outset, it's the anti-streaming package. I mean, you've got three broadcast networks that virtually everyone gets or can get if you have a TV. And so there's nothing on cable, nothing on streaming per se yet. I think that the three windows on the over-the-air networks, you know, it sets up just like the NFL. And then you'll have some FS1 games. There'll probably be some a Peacock element. The ESPN part is interesting. I think, at some point ESPN decided, it just wasn't worth it. They'll go ahead and ride with the SEC games and the Big 12 and the Pac-12. the package they were offered by the conference might not have been something they were able to accommodate because of existing window requirements with the SEC. So, you know, and I would say this, never say never on ESPN as it relates to Big Ten basketball. That's the question I keep asking people is where's the basketball going? Because Fox hasn't really, you know, gotten big on the broadcast network with basketball. They've got some Big East and have had some Pac-12 and some Big 12, but not a lot. And most of it's run on FS1. CBS might have a package of Big Ten as they had a long history with Big Ten basketball. NBC has virtually no basketball right now, period. So I find it hard to believe they're going to be in. So maybe there's a package that, you know, is carved out basketball only for ESPN.
No, that would definitely make sense. Now, I do want to get into Pac-12 and ACC and Big 12 and all that as we move along down the line. I do want to stay over on the Big Ten for just a little bit. John Sure. Orand over at Sports Business Journal, he reported that Mark Silverman and other Fox executives really took the lead on negotiating these deals with other networks for the Big Ten. Now, how unprecedented is this, or is it kind of common practice for networks, especially those with a vested interest here, to work together in a situation like this?
I have never heard of it before. It was very, very intriguing and very interesting. What I was trying to figure out is just what role Larry Jones and Mark Silverman, who I actually hired to run the Big Ten Network back in 2007, just exactly how involved they were. You know, at one end, they could have been involved to the extent Fox already had the Tier 1 deal locked up months ago. And so for the second and third packages, they might have been involved just so that they could see how it ultimately affected the Big Ten network rights, which is also owned by Fox. So they, you know, you had the number one package, and then they have the Big Ten network package. And I'm sure what they were trying to make sure that nothing happened in between there that was going to affect either of those two packages.
Basically, they don't lose games and exactly. such for that, right? It is interesting. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I find it so just mind-blowing looking at, one, them being able to be in the room with these other networks, but two, because they do own such a large percentage of the Big Ten network, this is effectively the NFL. We've talked about the NFL model and whatnot on our show before, where everything that these other networks is doing is basically just providing advertisement for a Fox property in the Big Ten network, right?
That's a good portion of it. I mean, I think there'll be one thing, when you have a variety of partners, and you see it in baseball and you see it in the NFL, they'll cross promote to each other's networks. So I'm sure in that 12 o'clock noon game, there's going to be some requirement for Fox to promote into the CBS game and the NBC game. And but same with NBC and CBS, as well as Big Ten networks. So you'll see a lot more cooperation from that standpoint. I think it certainly was unusual for the guys at CBS and ESPN and NBC to be in there with Fox, but you also have to remember, you know, guys at that level work together all the time. I mean, it wasn't that too long ago, Fox sold a bunch of U.S. Open rights back to NBC, and Fox and ESPN have been partners on the Big 12 and the Pac-12 for years. Over in Asia, I oversaw a network that was the largest sports network in Asia, and we were 50-50 partners with ESPN. So you know, a lot of people try and make it out as this big giant war arms race between Fox and ESPN. It's just not there. And I listened to John's podcast the other day, and I listened to two things I thought were very interesting. One is he said, there's not a war between Fox and ESPN. Burke and Mark Silverman and Larry, they go back years. And secondly, that Fox wanted ESPN to have a package, but the Big Ten wasn't real interested in it because they feel that there is an SEC bias to the Big Ten networks, or excuse me, to the ESPN's reporting.
That was actually my next question on this is, you know, we thought it was Fox versus ESPN, at least I'm not going to say the majority of people. I was one of those people that bought into Fox and ESPN were not happy with each other over college football rights. But it sounds a lot more like it is the Big Ten versus the SEC. Like, what exactly do you take from that, the fact that Fox was maybe wanting ESPN to have part of that package, and instead the Big Ten wanted nothing to do with the SEC?
Yeah, it's very surprising, and I think you may be spot on that it may be conference versus conference as opposed to network versus network. I you know, and a lot of people don't believe me, but I don't buy into this whole idea that Fox and ESPN are pulling all the strings here with these commissioners, that they, and they're somehow puppets, and we just jiggle some strings and they do what we want. I've never seen that. And I worked with collegiate conferences, you know, for 25 years across the country. And some of them, you know, you ever said that to Jim Delaney, he would have laughed at you. He's like, no, Bob's not pulling my strings. I can guarantee you that. So, you know, it's a healthy relationship. I think both Fox and ESPN and CBS, everybody and the conferences, it's in their vested interest to have strong college football conferences across the country. There should be, and I don't believe there's a desire within the Big Ten and the SEC to squash all these other conferences and, you know, make football relevant only in certain parts of the country. I think having, you know, both coasts covered with the ACC and the Pac-12, and having the Southwest covered with the Big 12, Mountain West Conference, AAC, it's all extremely important. Otherwise, I think a championship tournament, such as they're probably going to have coming up here after 2006, becomes largely irrelevant to a lot of the country if the institutions in those sections of the country don't have some sort of clear and reasonable path to actually get into the playoffs.
It's basically a rising tide lifts all boats, right? It's
absolutely
need everybody involved in order for it to be as big as humanly possible. Let's move this over to streaming for just a little bit. Now, apparently, okay, NBC's Peacock streaming network is going to have some exclusive games as part of the Big Ten package. How big of a deal is this for a streaming network like Peacock, whose model really requires subscriptions as opposed to just linear viewers?
I think it's an important thing for Peacock. You know, it doesn't surprise me. Peacock or NBC hasn't done a rights deal for the last couple of years that didn't include some element for Peacock. And if it hadn't included an element for Peacock, I don't think NBC would have been in on the deal. They'd have just stuck with Notre Dame. I think, you know, there'll be some one-off games, maybe some basketball, who knows. I think the bigger issue or bigger surprise would be eventually if it comes out and there's another streamer as a part of a deal, say some package carved out between, you know, picks 4 and 5 or something like that every week for football, or Amazon Prime or Apple TV Plus, that would be even more of a surprise to me than the Peacock element. You just assume that if NBC's involved, there's a Peacock element.
Yeah, you mentioning Apple and Amazon, et cetera. Like, we just got the news from Disney yesterday that they lost $1.1 billion in streaming. What was the next step for streaming? How invested do you think Amazon, Apple, et cetera, are going to be in broadcasting live sports rights in the future?
I think that they're going to continue down that path, if only as a hedge. A hedge against, you know, potential loss on their broadcast or cable networks. Amazon Prime is a totally different business model because it's all dependent on Prime memberships. So it's not, you know, they don't really care as much about viewership as they care about people, you know, paying that $120 a year for their Prime subscription.
Customers, right? There's,
yeah, exactly.
There have been multiple people that have brought up the idea that Amazon could get into the sports gambling rights space, where you've got a game on the television on Amazon Prime,
right,
and the ability to not only buy the team's gear right there on the screen, but also to be able to bet on the game as you're watching it. I mean, things like that are, I mean, obviously much further into the future, but maybe not as far as we're thinking, right?
It's possible. I think it'll be a good idea, an indication of what they plan to do with the Thursday night NFL games this year. I think that'll be real, you know, a real eye opener of all the various things that they could do. You know, for one of these conferences, if they got in, could they do an NFL red zone type channel for the Big 12 conference or the Pac-12 conference? Alternate feeds, you know, Manning cast feeds like ESPN did for Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
There's a variety of things that you can do on a streaming service that you can't necessarily do on a linear broadcast or cable network.
No, you've certainly got that right.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as the what's the ultimate, I don't know, end game for streaming, losing a $1.1 billion a quarter is certainly not a business plan that is sustainable forever. I told somebody, I said, that's, you know, one quarter, that's an entire year of Big Ten rights.
Yes. So,
it's a lot of money. I think that you're going to have some consolidation at some point, as with any business where there's significant losses, some sort of streaming bundle, maybe. I think you already see that now with the Disney Plus, Hulu Plus, ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that Walmart Plus, which is their answer, I guess, to Prime, a subscription service, might offer all of those as part, all of those streamers as part of your Walmart subscription. So there's going to have to be some new models. I'm not sure what it is, but I can tell you one thing, that those kind of losses, whether it be, you know, Netflix, Warner Discovery, Peacock.
The Warner Discovery stuff is mind-blowing. The $90 million Batgirl film just being completely shelved, and that comes off the heels of, you know, CNN Plus, $300 million down the drain for that one.
It's quite clear that the guys from Discovery have an entirely different view of the streaming world than the former AT&T Warner Brothers executives did.
Oh, most certainly. let's move back over to some other conferences here. Now, with ESPN out of the running for the Big Ten, that leads us to the Pac-12 and the Big 12. Now, ESPN has ABC, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN Play, etc. Like, they're going to need to fill content. What I want to know is this. Let's talk about, you know, time slots. How valuable is a late night window? Because we've heard that the Pac-12 deal could likely hinge on a lot of late night games. And with the Big 12, we could be looking at Thursday and Friday, you know, midweek games. I know BYU is a valuable property for late night windows. Now that they are in the Big 12, I think that's going to be a big deal. How big of a deal is that late night window to ESPN or, you know, FS1 if they were to miss out on both of these conferences and kind of have no teams available for a 10:30 p.m. Eastern time slot game on Saturday? How much does that hurt those networks?
If you're out, it hurts marginally. I think for ESPN, it's probably more important than anybody for them to have that 10:30 Eastern window. For a broadcast network, not so much, but certainly for ESPN and to a lesser extent, FSN1. We used to put the late night Pac-10 games on or Pac-12 games on FS1. Very seldom were they actually on, as we call it, Big Fox, the broadcast network. I think there is going to be some competition where in the past there really hasn't been. You know, certainly with USC and UCLA in the Pacific time zone, they'll play a game, probably each, maybe two, in that 10:30 Eastern window. Are you going to see USC versus Michigan or USC versus Penn State? No, but USC, Purdue, USC, Indiana, possibly.
Yeah.
You know, the Big 12 can play in that window now because with BYU, you can do eight local kick and it fills the same window. I think that for ESPN, though, it's definitely the most important for them, as you know, their West Coast viewers expect to turn on the game on the station anytime on a Saturday, and there better be a college football game on one of those ESPN or ABC channels.
Oh, in Vegas, there almost has to be something going on
exactly
at that point.
The sports books die.
Yeah. Well, so we talked about the late night window. What is the most valuable college football time slot? Because in the past, that noon time slot wasn't really It was not viewed as having value, right? But correct. Fox kind of changed that over and made it a prime spot. The CBS 3:30 game has always been kind of looked at as a prime spot. They haven't had a ton of competition there. And then, of course, ABC always had that primetime spot. At this point, where are you going to get the most viewers? Is it Saturday afternoon before anybody goes out, or is it when they come back home for the primetime spot? You know, give me your thoughts on it.
Well, my thoughts have always been that 3:30 Eastern was the primary window. Fox's whole rationale was that they get a jump on everybody and hope to keep them all day. With the pregame show, you know, you lead into that the big noon game, and you hope it actually is a big game, and you do whatever you can to schedule in that manner. And Fox pays a lot of money with the Big Ten to be able to have that first pick. So, you know, sometimes it might be a Big 12 game. You know, you can't get the Pac-12 guys to kick that early. So that's just, you know, that's maybe the Arizona guys when they're back on mountain time. But I think that the prime window is definitely the least valuable, whether it's Eastern Prime or Pacific Prime, primarily because the hut levels or people using television at that time of day are just way down. I applaud NBC for trying to create a Sunday night football feel on Saturday night with college football. It's just a slightly different scenario in that on Sunday night, they're the only game. and the hut levels are way, way higher than they are on Saturday night. And so, and then on top of that, Saturday night, they're going to be against a number of other games on either ESPN or FS1. So it's a slightly different deal. I think for ESPN or for NBC, a lot of it had to do with finding something to tie to Notre Dame so that they have some shoulder programming and that they can promote, you know, cross promote between the Notre Dame game into the Big Ten game. And sometimes you might, you know, I'm not sure that there wasn't some carve out for Notre Dame to be that primetime game on certain occasions. And maybe NBC doesn't have a game that week or has a game on a different outlet like USA Network or something like that. But
that would make
Notre
sense.
Dame, yeah. Notre Dame, it's good. I think, you know, the AD at Notre Dame, was quoted yesterday saying, you know, for people to talk about us outside of the Notre Dame games, that's good for us. And he's absolutely right. I mean, you had those Notre Dame games, 6-7 home games, just kind of floating around out there. You never know. There is no consistency to them. You know, since they're all home games, they don't play all 6 home games in a row. They play at different times. And so it's very important to have something to let your viewers know where you can find these things.
Yeah, the casual fan never really knew exactly what time Notre Dame was going to be on. You had to go search for it, et cetera. You bring up Notre Dame. Now, the deal with NBC, they're looking to make $75 million off their media rights annually moving forward. That'd be a combination of the ACC rights, their share of the college football playoff, which I want to hit with you here in just a minute, and, of course, their deal with NBC going forward. Now, I would have sworn that the Big Ten would be less likely to sign with NBC if they wanted to force Notre Dame to join a conference. But is it possible that the Big Ten NBC deal actually helps the chances of landing the Irish? I know that Jack Swarbrick really seemed to like the idea of being paired with the Big Ten and yet still remaining independent. Does this help or hurt the chances?
I think what, you know, Jack wants is to be able to have his cake and eat it too. I think he wants the money and he wants the independence. And as long as he has that, combined with a clear and reasonable path to the football playoffs, he's going to probably stay independent. I think the worry for them ultimately is if these conferences get so big or bigger than they currently are, and he doesn't have the ability to get as many good games because he's got to play 9 or 10 conference games, and he loses his ability to schedule non-conference with some top teams, that might chase him there. I think he's going to get the money. I think between, you know, NBC and Peacock and what they get from the ACC, I really think they're going to be fine and will get up. You know, they might not get to $75 million, but they're going to get darn close. I think also you got to remember they do very well in the college football playoff. You know, the only guy who gets their own share. Yeah, you know, you're not dividing it by anything, and so you know, that helps them every year. And I think, based on what I read about the last scenarios they were talking about, Notre Dame would retain that, you know, that ability to participate by themselves. And I think that, you know, Jack was on the committee, and so I certainly think that was something that he would have been pretty adamant about.
Well, that is something, you know, Kevin Warren brought up. He's maybe softened on his stance regarding AQs in the playoff, and Greg Sankey, of course, has never really wanted AQs with it. That definitely opens a window for Notre Dame to have a path there. But we talked about, you know, the possibility of Notre Dame hitting the Big Ten. Let's hit on a little more realignment mess. Take me into the mind of a network. I want to know the value of teams when a network looks at a media rights deal for certain conferences. Like, do they look at individual teams and place a valuation on them as to maybe how much they would be worth in different conferences, et cetera? Like, let's start off with that one. In your opinion, is there anybody in the Pac-12 or the Big 12 currently that would add value to the Big 10?
Not to the extent that the current members, should they give that school a full share, would take a reduction in their fees. So, I mean, you could bring Oregon or Washington or Stanford or Cal in. Are they worth $75 million a year? No. Are they worth maybe 40? And would they take a smaller payout to be in at 40? Possibly the schools. And, you know, that's happened in the past. Maryland and Rutgers.
In Nebraska.
You know, they have,
even
in Nebraska, yes. They had smaller shares to start. I think they're all full-fledged members now. But so it's not unprecedented. But as a television guy, I mean, that's more of a network You know, that's what a network looks at. You know, certainly they might ask, or I mean, that's what a conference looks at. What the network looks at is, you know, maybe the conference says, okay, we're looking at, you know, bringing a couple of schools in, how much more are you going to pay us? And so that, at that point, then certainly the networks will look and see, you know, what are the rivalries? What's the tradition? What's the brand? What's the TV market? You know, what can it do if we have a conference on channel? You know, can that help give us some lift to that anywhere? Those are the type of things they look at. But it, when you're buying an entire package of rights, you don't really look at it school by school. You're really looking at it by the markets. You know, what's the TV audience size? What are the rivalries within the conference? You know, what kind of games can you make with other conferences that you might have television rights agreements with? And those are the types of things that the network really looks at. And, you know, past ratings, success, where they, you know, what the conference's expectations are versus where you might think they fit in the pecking order of how other conferences are paid. There's a little bit of a, you know, a slotting system that goes on, and it's important. And, you know, the networks, you know, that's their job. They do that. They've got research guys that do that day in and day out. You can pick up the phone and, you know, in 2 hours have a deck with more numbers than you'd ever want to see that tells you, you know, why you should go after this conference than that conference. And this is how much you should pay them.
And that does make sense. That does make sense. You actually mentioned something that reminded me. I do want to ask you about CBS here in a little bit with their prior deal with the SEC. But we'll get to that here in a minute. Let's check out some things you should know about.
Follow the show on Twitter at Winning Cures. And you can follow Gary at GaryWCE. You can also follow on Facebook.
Got your own podcast or web show? Looking to start one? Or you're just curious how we look and sound so good? Well, we've got all the gear that we use listed on our gear page on the website. And if you order using our links, you'll be supporting the show too.
Subscribe on YouTube to get not only full Winning Cures Everything shows, but individual segments and other goodies as well. We're over 6,000 subscribers, and our goal by the end of the year is 7,500.
If you're interested in advertising on a show that reaches over 80,000 unique football fans per month during the season, send an email to Gary at winningcureseverything.com, and we'll put together a plan that best fits you or your business.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And now, back to the show. The Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC famously formed a quote-unquote, I guess, alliance, whatever you want to call it, last year, to where they would vote together against an expanded playoff, among other things. And once we got quotes from conference media days, it kind of looked like they were voting against ESPN getting exclusive negotiating rights to an expanded playoff. Now, let's talk about the playoff there. How valuable a property is a 12-team playoff now that we've seen what the Big Ten has done with multiple networks?
I think it's extremely important, and I think that's one of the reasons the Big Ten went for multiple networks. You don't want to just have Fox and ESPN bidding on it. The only thing worse than that is just ESPN bidding on it. And that's clearly why they didn't open up the deal now, because they, during the term of the agreement, the only one they can talk to is ESPN. And I think Kevin certainly realizes, based on his NFL experience, that you need to have, if you're going to go to a 12 or 16 team playoff, you need to have multiple parties at the table for two things. Number one, to get the games on, and number two, to have some sort of bidding competition so that, you know, one guy's just not pulling all the plugs. Fox has wanted an expanded college football playoff for years. And we had the BCS in the 2000, mid-2000s, yeah, like I think
late 2000s, right?
Yeah, and yeah. It was kind of, for us, it was kind of a one and done because, you know, we wanted a bigger tournament.
And well, it was a weird situation, right? Because Fox wasn't fully invested into college football at that point. No. And yet, once you got to the postseason, they were there, right? So people would have to go and look for a channel that they were not used to watching.
It was, Fox had absolutely nothing. And that's why, you know, it was a hard sell job on our part to get the conferences to actually accept it. And I think the relationships we had with the conferences as a result of the collegiate packages that we had for the cable networks was what, you know, they trusted us. So, and then, you know, they liked the money. We paid significantly more than ESPN had the first time around. And I think the conferences were looking for another bidder, and there wasn't one other than ABC. So, you know, the fact that we didn't continue with it was unfortunate, but we had hopes that it would continue and that it would, you know, get to a plus one type situation, things like that. And it, you know, it just wasn't there. And it didn't appear it was going to be there. So, you know, we just took the ball or took the cash and went home. Then again, you know, so then Fox starts getting involved with the, you know, collegiate football on a serious level. And I think the conferences are happy with that. You know, there is only one reason why Fox is doing regular season college football, and that is they want a piece of the playoffs. And that's, you know, it's going to be an interesting negotiation. And the winners are going to be ultimately the conferences and the schools, because, you know, there's going to be some serious bucks thrown around. It's going to look more like an NFL type playoff schedule. And, you know, you'll probably alternate championship games with a couple of entities.
Well, I think it's probably why NBC got involved and why CBS wants to stay involved with, absolutely, you know, having one of these big conferences with, you know, big time matchups so that people are used to watching it. And that way they can get a piece of the pie whenever it comes back around. Right. You brought up something that made me think about the CBS and SEC situation from back in the day, but I'll kind of tie it in with this. I'm interested in the ACC's situation currently. Now, Commissioner Jim Phillips talked about the issue with ESPN helping the ACC, like wanting to help them continue to be strong going forward, finding a way to maybe increase their media rights revenue going forward. Now, they just signed with a new company, and I forget the name, but they're trying to... what is it?
Fish bait.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Now, we saw like discontent from the SEC when CBS refused to renegotiate the long-term deal that they had when the SEC expanded with Texas A&M and Missouri back in like the early 2010s. What are your thoughts on CBS not being willing to work, I guess, in good faith? I think that's what Sankey and Mike Slive called it back in the day. And what incentive would ESPN have to renegotiate this kind of sweetheart deal that they've got with the ACC right now?
Yeah, well, to the first question in CBS, I think, you know, CBS probably realized what a great deal they had, and they didn't want to do anything to upset it at that point. You know, different networks take different approaches as far as extensions. We were always pretty willing to go ahead and open a negotiation earlier, but we wanted something out of it. You know, the conference wants something, we wanted something too. So, you know, just to open it and say, okay, I'm going to pay you $100 million more a year, but I'm not going to extend the deal, that wouldn't have worked for us. We would have said, okay, we need to come up with some extra value. If you want more money now, I need something down the road that's going to ensure that I'm getting my full value. So whether that's additional rights, whether it's additional years, whether it's a smaller annual increase year to year, there's a variety of things you can do to kind of tweak the deals so that everybody's happy. I'm not sure exactly why CBS didn't do that. I think now they're probably kicking themselves because they probably could have continued with that SEC 3:30 Eastern window and for a lot less, you know, or at least I think $50 million less is what I'm hearing than what they ultimately are now paying the Big Ten for a lesser pick. You know, they're probably going to alternate the second and third pick every week with NBC would be my guess. So, you know, it's they rolled the dice and it didn't quite work out. For the ACC and ESPN, that's the situation that's tough. I mean, the deal runs through 2036. There is, you know, they've already got a network. Is there a way they could monetize that network with some sort of combination of the Pac-12 networks and get some lift for the Pac-12 network, which is poorly distributed at this point? And if that would create enough money that could, you know, satisfy all three partners, that being the Pac-12, the ACC, and ESPN. That's one way. Is there some sort of streaming element that the ACC could create with ESPN above and beyond what they already have through the ACC network and ESPN Plus? That's possible. I think they're going to have to do something because they're going to fall behind here real quick. And, you know, the SEC is going to come up again, and the Big Ten will probably come up again before the ACC ever expires. Unfortunately, they have a pretty rock solid grant of rights. But those, you know, if you get enough schools upset, they'll band together and they'll figure out a way to challenge that grant of rights. And they'll be suing not the ESPN, they'd be suing the conference, because the grant of rights is between the conference and the school. And that was, you know, I understand why John Swofford did that. You know, it was trying to hold everybody together in an era of, you know, shuffling chairs. And it's, unfortunately, you know, it may come back to haunt them, but they did get their network and they've got a strong, you know, a long-term grant of rights. So everybody's kind of tied. But the flip side is they're going to start falling behind. And the schools like Clemson, Florida State, Miami, you know, they're not going to like that at all.
No.
And the ESPN, basketball, I think schools.
It would serve ESPN well to actually keep those brands strong.
Absolutely.
But if you get into something like unequal revenue sharing, et cetera, that's a slippery slope, right?
It is, and everyone's been down that slope before. It used to be that way in the Pac-12, the Big 12, and you know, it was, everybody was always calling us up politicking to get an appearance so they'd get an extra check. And you know, it's tough. It was a lot better when it went to, you know, complete equal revenue sharing. I could see how potentially in the Pac-12, you know, schools like Oregon and Washington might say, okay, well, now we're the big dogs and we want, you know, if we're going to be the one chosen the most and just, you know, perform the best, we want a bigger chunk of the pie. And, you know, is an Oregon State or a Washington State or Arizona going to agree to that? Well, they're probably going to end up with more money than if Oregon and Washington leave and they all end up in the Mountain West Conference. So, you know, it's something they'll probably take a good hard look at, but it's one of those things that it's hard to, it's really hard to maintain some level of collegiality when you've got haves and have nots within your own conference.
No, that definitely does make sense. Yes. We'll close out with this. I've kept you for 35 minutes. Just a fun hypothetical. Now, I have said on this show for years now, I thought it might be smarter for all of these G5 conferences. You mentioned the Mountain West there, but the AAC, the Sun Belt, CUSA, MAC, maybe some of these independent teams, for them to all try and bundle their rights together, right? Which would effectively get rid of conferences, I suppose. But I thought it could make them make those contracts maybe incentive-laden, sell the rights on shorter contracts to multiple media networks, whoever that may be. I just feel like for the smaller teams, because it does feel like we have basically two divisions inside of the FBS, I thought it would make more money for the smaller schools because you can get better non-conference matchups, better time slots, prime conference matchups, whatever. I would imagine those would be worth more money. How realistic could something like that be? Now, every conference, once they're on deal, they want the ability to add their own value. But to those schools, how much sense would it make, and is it even possible to do that?
It's kind of like herding cats, I think. we made a couple of veiled efforts at trying to create something for the schools below the Power Five. Two things. Number one, creating a kind of a super conference that, you know, some guys have been on the outside looking in, but sort of kind of the best of the rest is how we termed it. And it, you know, it didn't work out. There was geography problems. There was, you know, people were tied to the conferences and the history. And so we just said, okay, fine. But what you put forth is something that if I'm Amazon Prime, if I'm Apple TV Plus, that's something that, you know, would be a get for them. You know, I think they could do that. And it, you know, take a ton of work and a ton of money. But if you start waving enough money in front of these conferences, you know, they're the type, they're going to go, okay, well, we're not getting that much distribution of our games already. So who cares if we're not getting distribution on Amazon Prime or Apple TV Plus? At least we got a lot of money. Yeah. And it's the MLS situation, what MLS did with Apple TV. And they took all these games that were on RSNs, games that were on their MSL, whatever their packages like Sunday Ticket.
Yep.
And you know, even the rights to the games that are on Fox and ESPN, although I expect at some point there will be a game of the week type thing on Fox and ESPN. And they took all that over and put it on Apple TV. And, you know, I don't know how many homes Apple TV has, but it's a heck of a lot less than what ESPN and Fox were distributing those games to, but they got a big check. And at this point for them, the money is worth more than the exposure. And at some point, it could be that way for the G5 schools, especially since they're not getting that much exposure anyway.
Well, a lot of them are being relegated to ESPN Plus, et cetera,
exactly.
or these other channels. I brought this up because I looked back at that BYU and Coastal Carolina game back in 2020 that was kind of put together the week of, and it drew over 1 million viewers on ESPNU, which is not a prime network.
Exactly.
So something along those lines where those non-conference matchups, now BYU obviously would be one of the haves at this point, but those fun matchups where teams come up out of nowhere and you've got casual fans that really want to watch, but also the fans of these schools.
Fans of the schools, absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, someone like Amazon Prime or Apple TV Plus could cobble that type of thing together with all the conferences. And, you know, there's always issues with existing deals when they run out, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But I think, you know, every once in a while, you're going to catch lightning in a bottle, and it's going to make a big difference. You know, I'll never forget the very first game we had on the Big Ten Network was, you know, Appalachian State kicking a field goal at the end of the game to win. That was the very first game we had. I was like, going, oh, thank you, Lord.
Oh, it was perfect because all the cable providers started getting blown up. Hey, where is it? Because I remember following the game, and I could not find it anywhere down in Memphis. Right. And, of course, we ended up getting the Big Ten Network maybe a couple of weeks after.
So it'd be the same way for Amazon Prime or Apple TV if they picked up, you know, were able to cobble that thing, that type of a situation together. You're going to, like I say, catch lightning in a bottle, but also for those services, those streaming services, they got to walk before they can run. You know, they're not, you know, Amazon, yeah, they've got a Thursday night game. They're with the NFL, and I know a bunch of the people who are over there working on it, and they're going to do a very good job with it. But I think at this point, they have frustration because they're trying to bid on everything and they're not getting anything. You know, they've got some overseas soccer and some things, you know, for outside the U.S. where they distribute. But here they've got the NFL game, and I think they want more than that. But I'm not sure that other leagues and conferences and sports are quite ready to step up to that level. But the G5s should and would want to. And I think that's something they could actually get. As opposed to, you know, swinging and missing.
Well, it is, if you think about it, the business of colleges really is to get their name out. They call football for universities the front porch of the university. If you're not on a linear network, it's kind of tough to get in front of a bunch of eyeballs. So it's a back and forth of, yeah, the money's really important, but we need to be in front of as many people as humanly possible to advertise our university. So, you know, going with the streaming route, I think the way that things have changed as far as sports media rights go, I think it makes sense, maybe, to go streaming now, because you have to be able to keep up in some form or fashion. Right. Otherwise, I told somebody the other day, I think it is almost as likely that Stanford and Cal over in the Pac-12 cease to play football as opposed to join the Big Ten. Like, I just... Yeah,
it's very possible, because I think, you know, sooner or later, you know, if your football program funds the bulk of your other programs, you know, Stanford, not to so much Cal, but Stanford, you know, they can afford to do whatever they want. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the only building you go to. It doesn't have a single ad in it of any type, but they could, you know, with their endowment, they can do whatever they want. But I think you're right. I don't think, you know, if the Pac-12 implodes, I don't think you find I don't think you find Stanford or Cal in the Mountain West. I think they just shut it down.
Oh, yeah.
They shut football down.
And I agree.
Yeah. So you know, but with the G5s, I think that's a, you know, it's kind of a super league makes a lot of sense. And, you know, hopefully someone over at Amazon Prime is going to watch this and says, gee, we got to take a look at that. And I wish them the best of luck because I didn't have any at it.
We will tag them in the comments for sure and see if something can get done. I'll go ahead and let you out of here. You have stayed long enough, and I certainly appreciate it. He is Bob Thompson. Bob, thank you so much for your time. Hopefully we can get you back on the show soon.
My pleasure. Take care.
Of course. Thank you. All right. We want to appreciate Bob for giving us the extra time. I mean, just incredible amounts of knowledge coming from him. Absolutely love it. I can't wait to hear what else he has to say as we go further along in realignment and more media contracts coming out, etc. But hopefully we will get him back on the show. All right. If you haven't already, do me a favor. Go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are rolling right along. You heard it in the ad. Of course, our goal is 7,500 by the end of football season. I'm hopeful we could hit that by the end of September if we keep rolling at the numbers that we're rolling at. So you guys have been wonderful, and I certainly appreciate it. We're going to keep this thing rolling. We are rapidly approaching the time when we will have 3 shows per week. That will be, I guess, once we get into September. Towards the end of August. So as soon as week 0 is done, that Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, I will be rocking and rolling with quick reactions and recaps of all of the games. So, with that said, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. You guys have been fantastic. I certainly appreciate all of you. Share out the show. Tell your friends. Go check out the web store, etc. And with that said, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And hopefully, all of your tickets cash this weekend. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, and make sure to leave a nice 5-star review. You can follow Gary on Twitter at GaryWCE, and the show is at Winning Cures. Be sure to check out the merch in our web store and share the show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.